Okay, recording has started.
Okay, thank you so much. Welcome everybody to the workshop on how to start a face-to-face meeting and the importance of a face-to-face meeting for Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How. My name is Suzanne. I'm a grateful compulsive eater, and I am the facilitator of this workshop. For those of you who'd like to, please join me in the Serenity Prayer. Star 6 to unmute. God.
Grant me the serenity.
To accept
the things I cannot change.
Courage to change the things I can.
And a wisdom to know the difference.
I will, not might be done. Okay, very good. Well, our first speaker will be Cheryl, and she has a lot of experience on this. However, I just wanted to give a little overview why this workshop. The phone bridge started to fill a gap between areas where there are no meetings. If you can't get to a meeting, there's the phone bridge. Always with the anticipation that people would start face-to-face meetings. The story behind why I am leading the workshop is I'm on a committee called the Unity Committee. And it was supposed to explore, it's to explore why numbers are down financially and also people-wise. So we wanted to encourage people to open face-to-face meetings because it's so important. Also, that the phone bridge work in tandem with face-to-face meetings and vice versa. So there is a mutual respect and love. We all have the same purpose. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message. So that's why this workshop is here. For those of you who have never been to a face-to-face meeting, hopefully that will change. It does not diminish the recovery that we have here on the phone bridge, but each one can enhance our program. And so I give you our first speaker, Cheryl. Thank you, Cheryl. And how would you like your time? You have 15 to 20 minutes. I'll time you.
Let me know when 5 minutes are up, and then a minute. At 15.
Okay, so every 5 minutes. After
10 minutes, let me know when 10 minutes are up.
Okay, 10 minutes and then 5. Okay.
Right. Thank you so much, Suzanne. Thanks, Fran. I really am honored. Starting a face-to-face meeting. Meetings are a very vital part of my program. Without meetings, I probably wouldn't be here. I need to hear people share. I need to see people. I need to know there are people that are in this thing with me. I know I'm not alone, but I also don't need to do this alone, and that for me was a big deal. When I first came into my program, in 2001, December of 2001, it was in Manhattan, and that was my first meeting. I'd never been to a 12-step program before. I didn't know what they were talking about. I heard spirituality, and I was ready to leave. I thought this was a religious cult of some sort. But I hung in there for the hour. I knew I couldn't leave in the middle. And things I heard really kept me coming back. People talking about their past experience with food, how food was ruining and ruling their life, and how they overcame that with a daily reprieve. And people got up to qualify. And besides the weight loss, what I heard people say, the years and the time that they had kept it off. And that's what I needed. I needed to hear maintenance. I had tried so many things, but they just didn't last. And so for me now to hear that people were keeping their weight losses off, that's what I needed. And I kept going back. That was in 2001. I went to those meetings twice a week, rain, snow, or sleet, whatever. I was there. And then we decided to open our own new meetings in Brooklyn. The two of us were sitting there at first and watching the clock tick away, and no one came. But that happened week after week for a few weeks. But we hung in there. And what do you know? Those meetings really grew. And we had like 40, 50 people coming to a meeting, and then we opened another one. So it was beautiful, but it does take time, you know. So when you start a new meeting and it's not happening right away, don't get worried. It will happen. It always does happen. And some of them don't grow so large, but there are two people are a meeting. And sometimes when I get to meeting and people just show up late, they just always do. So the two of us sitting there start the meeting off, and it's wonderful. And if you share even with one other person at a meeting, I come out of there inspired. I heard things I needed to hear that day, and there's nothing like going to a meeting. Live meetings are great. Then we opened the phone bridge meetings. In 2004, we opened the phone bridge meetings, and that was very difficult. We started that, Lucille and myself, and what happened was we started with 15 meetings for the week, and she would do the morning meetings, 5:30 and 7, and I would do the afternoon, and ended up that we were doing most of the reading. We were definitely leading because there weren't people yet with 30 days, and we were wishing for the day that there'll be other people that can lead and can be involved, and so our meetings were drastically low. But we hung in there. It took about a year to really get off the ground. There was a lot of hesitation of people thinking that we might be taking away from live meetings, which of course didn't happen. And of course today there are hundreds of people working program only with a phone bridge because they don't have access to a live meeting. So that was a very important part, addition to our program. Now for live meetings, I remember talking to Ray Z, the co-founder of CHOW at the World Service Conference. I've been there a few times. She's a really brilliant woman at her age. I mean, she was then 90. I don't know if she's still available to work program per se physically. But at that time, she was just a ball of fire. And every time you talk to her and you have a problem and you complain about something going on in your live meeting, she said, well, just open another meeting. Open another meeting. You know, so it was constantly. And when you were there, you promised her you'd open another meeting. And I did that. And we opened another meeting. So it's very important to start, you know. And if you need help, we're always here to help. You can call any of us that have done it, have had the experience in opening a meeting. I'm always available. So if you want to try and open a meeting, I can walk you through it. We have support in this program. There's so many people to talk to on outreach and in people in general that would help you because we all want to see CHOW grow. We want it to continue to function. And on that note, I had a call from someone, an email actually, and she said, I can't believe CHOW is still thriving. I can't believe that you're still here. And you're it's so good to have something to come back to, something solid to come back to. She's been out for a while, and she just came back and has got some days in already. So, yeah, we need to stay here. We need to be here. And the only way to do that is keep growing, keep growing. I need to do what I keep doing every day, and that is for me to just help others, you know, give back with that which I have received. Some tips on how to physically open a meeting. These are things I just jotted down. So there's the structure of the meeting. So first of all, number one would be pick a time and place to have the meeting. Number two, make sure the meeting is registered with World Service Office. They give you a form that you fill out. Number three, announce at other meetings and definitely on the phone bridge. Let them know that you're opening a new meeting. Four, you need to get yourself leaders and co-leaders and set up. You know, sometimes people don't want to do that, no commitments. But if you tell them that just once a week for an hour, I mean once a month or once a week, whenever they want to do, it's doable. And so you can have that taken care of. Then you need to decide on the format, and you can download that from the website. Any format you like. Make sure that you have the books handy. Six, prepare a folder for each leader, and that would include the format that was chosen, and all the readings, and of course the necessary books. And then you need sign-in sheets for outreach. So when you're sitting at the meeting there, you have a sign-in sheet ready, and you hand it around. It goes around. Everyone signs in their name, and other people, well, everyone is able to then write down the names, have them for outreach, and you can also see if there are new people on there, you want to call them maybe. What's very important is to have a greeter, to meet and greet, someone that says hello to anyone that comes in the door. You know, for people that have been there, of course, you can say hello, but most importantly, if a newcomer walks in, that she feel that she came to the right place, that she's wanted and needed here. So it doesn't take much to just say hello, welcome, and if you need any questions or help, we stay after the meeting and we can help you and then try to get them a sponsor. You need to have someone in charge of literature that can order the literature, World Service Organization, or you can have a literature, you can order literature on the phone bridge at phonebridgeliterature@gmail.com. And then you need someone to collect the monies that come in the donation basket. So that would be a treasurer. Also not a big deal, you know, once a week or whatever it is. She just collects the money that comes in, sets it aside, and then at the end of 3 months or so, we'll let you know how to send that in the three different area, intergroup area, and world service. 11, someone needs to stay later to help the newcomers, and you don't need any abstinence to do that. You need an intergroup rep, and that's someone with 90 days of abstinence. And then a business chair and secretary when you decide to have a business meeting. And that could be done once in 2 months, 4 months, whatever you decide, if you have issues that you want to attend to, and anything on agenda items that you'd like to bring up. Now, it sounds like a lot, but it's not. I can break them down and help you with them. And the most important thing is to pick a time and place to have that meeting. And then everything else falls into place. So it's good to pick a partner. Have someone help you get started. Look for a place. Many places are available for free. Churches or libraries. We have them in libraries. We have one in a rehab building next to the hospital. Hospitals have given us places in the past. Or any place like that that is willing to give a meeting place or a conference room to a 12-step program. So all you need to do is go there, make sure you speak to somebody that's responsible, and register yourself with them. Now, we do pay $25 a year annually to the library. That's just so that we're not getting it for free, totally free, and that's the World Service likes it that way, that we don't get anything for free. These are the logistics for opening a meeting. And what happens at a meeting is that people share, and when people share, I always hear my story, and I may be in a pretty rotten mood, and I'm not interested in going to the meeting today, and I'm tired, and I've got all these reasons why not to go, but then I have commitment. Number one, I might be the leader, and number two, you know, I am the literature person, so it's good. It's good to have those positions because that gets me out of the rut, gets me out of the house, gets me moving, and gets me to the meeting. And I have never regretted going to a meeting. Always come out of there inspired, feeling good, a lot of camaraderie. We're all in the same boat. We're actually all suffering the same disease. So just speaking about it, people discussing what's going on in their life, how they're... we had a qualification this past week and Thursday night meeting. It was wonderful. You know, this person's in program for many years and abstinent back to back for 11 years. She had stories to tell. You know, she'd been through tragedies and really tough situations and stayed abstinent throughout. So it was wonderful hearing her. You know, again, wow, she could do it. Maybe I can do it, or I can do it. You know, newcomers were amazed. You know, she lost 100.
10 minutes have left, Cheryl. You have 10 minutes left.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just listening to her, 140 pounds down, abstinent and maintaining for 11 years, that's amazing. And you get that when you come out of the meeting. You know, I could be in a slump. I can, I don't know, do this again, weigh, measure my food again, call again, you know, outreach again. But then what is the alternative? What is the alternative? I can't afford not to do that. There's just so much at stake here. So, yes, it takes some time to put that food on the scale, yes. And I don't do it every single day. I cook and I prepare and I have these little containers. So I'll cook and make salads for 2 days in a row so I don't have to do it. You know, come home, it's ready, just grab it. I cannot afford to come home hungry and start looking for things to make for dinner. I need to know what I'm going to have, weigh the measure, turn it over and commit it to my sponsor, and come home and have it. And what a relief not to have to worry and wonder what is there in the fridge, what can I make, how can I prepare it. So a program has given me that structure, not to have to have the constant chatter in my brain and that negativity. Oh, wow, I was miss negativity. I would constantly find something wrong with you or the other person or the time or the situation or the day or whatever. There was always something bad about it. Today it's so different. You know, things come up. Of course, there are challenges. I have that all the time. But now I used to do serenity prayer a lot. So either I sit down and decide, can I do something about it? Should I do something? Is it warranted? Do people want to hear what I have to say? And then, if not, sit back, relax, and talk to my higher power and let him decide. You know, it's so much of a relief to sit back. I would say to my higher power, and I do that all the time, I cannot do this anymore. I cannot do this alone. It's just too much. You know, I'm up against the wall. There's just no way I can get around this thing. I'm letting go. I'm letting go and letting God. Well, for one thing, I calm down right away. First thing, you know, I'm taking it easy. And then come what may, you know, I may decide an hour later, yes, I do want to do something. 2 hours later, I may decide, no, that was not the right thing. I don't want to do that. Whatever it is, turning it over to my higher power helps me tremendously. And listening to people do the same thing, you know. Our challenges are not the same, but I love hearing people talk about how they dealt with things, how they're dealing with things today, how far they've come in recovery, how much they've learned. And I have to learn things every day. I do learn every day. I learn from every share that I hear. Sometimes I hear something and, well, it doesn't apply to me. It may not apply to me that day, but it might apply to me next week or next month or next year. And I go, oh, that's how she did it, you know? And so it's so important. Now, yes, it's important to do all the tools. It's important for me to make outreach calls. Definitely important to write, and I love that big book. Grab it whenever I can. Craving Calls, I grab even if I have time to read a sentence or two, but that big book, that's it for me. And, of course, talking to my sponsor on time, all these things are important, anonymity. But most important for me is to stay alive in this program, stay connected and grounded are the meetings. And, of course, I'm just blessed that I had the two meetings here, Mondays and Thursdays. And I do lots of phone bridge meetings. I love those phone bridge meetings. And even if I can't participate or something's going on, I'm multitasking, or, you know, if I can't stay on for the whole thing, I just need to be connected. I need to hear those other voices. I need to hear people. And it's always a good thing, you know, you come to a meeting and, oh, you're still here. You're still here, you know. And people love that because they think, well, if they left and they're in a relapse, the program fell apart. But it hasn't, you know. So people come back, and they love to see you, and I love to see new people. And I can do that only at the live meetings, whether it's on the phone bridge or not. The other thing is building relationships, you know. Sometimes I don't have time, or newcomers will say, I don't want to do those outreach calls. I hate them. I'm bothering people. I say exactly what I felt like. You know, if you wouldn't be saying this, I think there was something wrong. You're doing the right thing. And for me...
5 minutes left, Cheryl.
Thanks a lot. Today, when I get the outreach calls, I love them. I'm excited for someone to call, hey, this is an outreach. Great. How are you doing? How long are you in program? What are you doing? Have any questions? You know, so if I'm happy to get those outreach calls, maybe the person I'm calling is happy too, is anxious to speak to someone. You never know when you call that someone might just need that call. So when I think of it that way, my mindset is totally different. I'm not worried about bothering them because if they are busy, they'll say, I can't talk right now. So I just say, have a great day. Hang up. You know, and so that thing, again, chatter in my brain is gone. I don't have to worry about it. And, of course, I have lots of friendships and relationships at this point in program. So it's easy to call people that, you know, that I know well, and we can discuss things for a few minutes. But even a one-minute phone call is great. Sometimes I allow people when they, you know, leave their phone numbers, voicemail. But chances are people don't call back. So I prefer that they speak to someone live, you know, figure out when they're not home, when they're home, not, you know, mornings or evenings, not too late. So there's so much of this program. You know, I could talk on and on and on. And to me, it's a part of my life. When I have the sponsor guidelines, I welcome a newcomer and I tell her, It's a program that I live. It's a way of life for me today. I'm so involved with program every single day. It's not about making that phone call to the sponsor, doing the question. It might take 3 or 5 minutes for some people. And then, you know, weighing and measuring the food and they're done. You know, no, for me, I'm constantly working program. Love getting new sponsors or even other ones. And just be involved. Because if not, what is the alternative? back to my 232 pounds, back to my misery, back to my negativity, back to hating people, isolating, not wanting to go out, not wanting to buy clothes, just a miserable way to live, constantly worrying, you know, double guessing, what did I say, second guessing, what I did, I was never doing anything right, so how could I have, could have, should have, would have. I don't need to do that today. I don't need to practice that today. I choose not to. I choose to stay absolutely abstinent so that I can live a saner life. You know, I can live a much calmer life. I can live a life where my higher power is there with me every moment of every day. And I talk to him. I actually talk to him. And it's such a relief. I don't have to do this alone. I have my higher power's hand in mine all the time. And I have people in program. So this is not like any diet I ever did before. Today, I don't have to do it alone. I have the support. I have the help. There's nothing for me out there like CHOW, and I've been doing it now for 14 years. So I'm very, very grateful to the program. I'm grateful to everyone that does service in this program, everyone that I've spoken to and connected with. And I really appreciate your asking me to speak tonight. Today. Thanks for the honor. Thank you, Suzanne.
Cheryl, would you like to leave your phone number twice?
Sure, I can do that. I'm Cheryl in New York, and that's Eastern Time. My number is 718-438-6790, 718-438-6790, and I welcome outreach calls. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. And before we go on to our next speaker, Adele, I would just like to tell everybody, I should have said, would have been nice had I said, get a piece of paper and a pencil to write stuff down. But the good thing is this will be on the recording line if you want to go back and listen. The other thing is, a while back, it was decided here at the Foambridge Intergroup, we'll be asking for donations for the workshop like they do at face-to-face workshops. So we're asking for donations of $5 if anyone can give, or whatever you can feel from your heart or afford to give, please send in a donation to the Foambridge Intergroup. And, yes, please get paper and pen and write down, jot down stuff, and feel free to call any of the panelists. All right, our next speaker is Adele. Adele, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, and I would like to say one more thing, Adele, before I can, well, two things. The panelists will stay on for any questions, so we will be taking questions and answers at the after everyone is through speaking. And how would you like, you have 15 minutes, Adele, how would you like it?
Let me know when I have 5 minutes left.
Okay, thank you. I give you Adele, everybody. Thank you, Adele.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for asking me. Well, I think I volunteered when we was doing the intergroup meeting, and you said you was going to be the chairperson to do the workshop. So I'm a grateful member of CHOW, Compulsive Eater, Believe It. And, I started face-to-face meeting. I moved to a town where it was no means. The nearest meeting was 30 minutes away, and I was from an area where I had means 6 days a week. And so, and I was already doing the Foambridge before I moved here, so, I continued to do it while, I was here. And I had mentioned, I go to another 12-step program, and I had was talking to a girl, and I mentioned that I was going to start a face-to-face meeting, and, I'm a procrastinator, to be honest. I'm a procrastinator. And so, one day she said, when you going to start that face-to-face meeting? So I kicked into gear, and, where I came from, one of the girls held the meeting at her house. And so I started it at my house, and I made sure that no food, because my living rooms are open, floor plan, and I made sure no food was on the kitchen counter and no smell of food. I wouldn't even cook that, nobody would, break the abstinence or have any smell of food or, I didn't want to trigger anybody. And so so I started a meeting at my house, and then I think it went on for about 6 months, and I was trying to find another place, and I was calling around, and I couldn't find another place. And it's weird that one of the places that I did call we end up having a meeting there later because the girl belongs to that church. But what happened was somebody worked at a hospital, so they talked to the person at the hospital, so we was able to start one in one of their rooms. And I was the only absence person up here, and that was really hard. But thank God, the first meeting, a friend of mine came. She drove about an hour to get here to, maybe over an hour to get here to support me with the first meeting. And what we did, because I was the only absence person, you know, every once in a while somebody would come from my old areas to lead the meeting. So what I started doing is doing speakers from the convention, CDs, and then I started calling people on my cell phone and putting the phone on speaker and have them share for 15 minutes their story. And because, you know, I was only half this person up here, so I couldn't keep telling my story. It was just, you know, if I don't believe in sharing my story every week because I think it, you know, it's not for a healthy meeting. So what we do now is we changed the time of the meeting because it didn't work for certain people. It was a 5:30 meeting, so we changed it to 6 o'clock. So on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock is a phone bridge speaker meet, and we don't listen to, we do our own reading. We have the 12 tradition, 12 steps, all our own reading, and one person will be kind of, you know, listening when it gets close to time for the speaker, and we'll listen to the speaker for 15 minutes, and then we'll hang up. And we'll do our reading of the big book. And what happened was when I, you know, like I said, I was the only abstinence person up here. So, you know, it was an hour meeting. So, you know, I could only share, you know, so much. So what happened was I made it a big book, a literature study, so that we could read instead of, you know, just not, because there was nobody able to share. So we do readings. And now we still have it as a literature study where we'll read one paragraph and then somebody will share. And I might be getting a little off track in a round. But what we do now, we call into the phone bridge, we listen to the speaker, we hang up, we do our reading, and then we do our sharing. And then when we have newcomers to come, we'll just have somebody at the meeting to share their story because we want, you know, them to get more familiar with the program. And then, you know, we'll go back to listening to the phone bridge, if we have somebody that got 30 days, and we'll help them share their story. If somebody, you know, come up here out of the area, but you know, I had somebody come, God, close to 80 miles away to share a story at our meeting. And so it's really important if you have a face-to-face, you know, you start a face-to-face meeting and you don't have a lot of people that can share their story, to try to get other people to call you. And we even bought a speaker to plug into our cell phone, so we'll, you know, call somebody or they'll call us and we'll plug it into the speaker and they can, you know, share so everybody can hear it real clearly. And so what happened was, you know, I found the place and that was my house, and I did talk to World Service about what to put in the newspaper, but they didn't have nothing at that time. So what I did, I looked in the flyer, do you need help with your eating? And they have like 14 questions. So I pulled some of those questions out and I emailed it to the newspaper. And, you know, they told me they would put it in the newspaper whenever they have space. They couldn't put it in there every day. But I did get some calls. And also another friend of mine's made flyers. And you know, I posted those in you know, that famous coffee place that everybody have all over the United States. And so I think it's real important to do to start a face-to-face meeting. It have been so much help to me. I mean, I never did this much service in all my time in program until I started the face-to-face meeting. And I also learned a lot. You know, if I don't have the answer, I'll call somebody and find out what the answer is. And I'm trying to look at my notes. Okay, and also, um, Oh, and I thought it's very important that we didn't listen to the whole phone bridge meme, because if we listen to the whole phone bridge meme, what would be the point of, you know, coming to a meme? And, you know, you could stay at home and just listen to the phone bridge meme. And, that, you know, the meme's important because I love the hugs and seeing other people and seeing their progress and seeing the smile on their face and seeing when the light bulbs finally come on that, you know, this program is the program for them. And also about starting a face-to-face meeting, I find it's very important to read the whole package that World Service sent out to you. And when you do change service positions, always important for the person to, you know, read what the duties is for their position. And you know, and to, you know, let them know that everything is a group conscious, because, you know, like I say, you know, some of the people, they had been in program before, but it's had been maybe around like 7 or 8 years, and you know, it's, and you know, and I also told them that, you know, any changes they want to make, we, you know, we can make. And I also found that it was very important, which, you know, I didn't do, it was to let them know that not to change the word, the reading of the words, you know, read it as it is written. So I think if you start a meme, I think it's very important to put that into the format in the beginning, because the one that the World Service sent out did not have that in there, and then about mentioning the Pacific food, and also crosstalk, because, you know, we did have an issue with crosstalk in the beginning, because, you know, people that can't share are newcomers, you know, when somebody share, they have, you know, they make little comments on the side while the person is still sharing. So I think, you know, that's very important to have in the format in the beginning about the crosstalk and the mention of food and reading the text that's written. And I'm having a little vision problem today, so I do have to apologize. And also, you know, I found out that it's important for the meeting to start on time and to end on time, because I think it's very disrespectful of the new, you know, this is a very structured program. You know, I know we're not Nazi or nothing like that, but I think that we need to start the meeting on time and end on time, because people have a life outside of the meeting, and they, you know, they plan on coming there for the hour and maybe socializing a little bit, but I think, you know, when we start in the meeting, we need to, well, all the time, we need to start on time and end on time, that we take a group conscious at the end to spend the meeting. And and you know, it have been, like I said, it have been a bit help. It do get me out of my house. I
Adele, 5 minutes left.
Okay, thank you so much. It do get me out of my house, and it's just been, you know, it's just been great to be of service. I just can't say enough about service, and you know, it have boosted my program. It have really boosted my program, and meeting new people and sponsoring, and also, you know, if it was a while before people got abstinence. It was like, I think, I was the secretary, treasurer, literature person. You know, I was everything, because I was trying to stick to the rules that you know, they have to have 30 days to do that. They have to service, you know, but that was okay. And then some days I was the only person at my house, so I would start doing the reading, because of, you know, sometimes people did come late, so I would just start doing the reading, because if everybody come late and then you just start the reading, then nobody won't get a chance to, you know, hear the speaker or see the, you know, or whatever we was doing for that day. And so, you know, it have really helped me a lot. And I've been kind of down a little bit, you know, and one of the girls that do the program, she called me today to see how I was doing. And yesterday she called me to see whether I needed anything from a store. And, you know, you make lifetime friends. And I think it's just, you know, the support, the love, and all the hugs, and support. You know, you have local support, because, you know, I know I have the support from the people where I used to live at, but that's about 50 minutes away. So now I have all the support and the love up here where I live at now. And I was telling them that I want to move, and they don't want me to move, because I was thinking about moving back where I used to live at, and they don't want me to move. But, you know, God has been really good to me, and he helped, you know, start this meeting, because it definitely wasn't. Because at one time when I was sitting here by myself, it's like, okay, maybe God don't want this meeting to, you know, go forward. And now we have three meetings up here. You know, one of the girls that I used to sponsor, she started two meetings. So we have a meeting on Tuesday, we have a meeting on Thursday, and we have a meeting on Saturday. And, you know, I always start a meeting on the day that you can be there, because it's very important that you is there, especially if you don't have other people that can lead the meeting that don't have the abstinence. So you definitely have to do it on a day that you commit to being there. And so within the last 2 years, we went from one no meetings to three meetings, and that's only by the grace of God and support from you guys, because I have even called somebody in Texas to share their story, and this past Saturday they had a girl that called in from LA to share her story, and we're gonna have in 2 weeks. A week from this coming Thursday, we're going to have somebody call in from Hawaii to share their story. And so, so we get a chance to, you know, not be isolated. Because I tell them, you know, get off this hill, because it's, you know, and I know, you know, some of them did go down 45 minutes away to a birthday party at a City Hall birthday party yesterday. I wasn't able to make it. But, you know, and they got a chance to hear, you know, somebody different. And so it's very important, you know, that if you don't have enough abstinence people, even if you're tired of hearing the same old story, you know, start calling people and ask them to share their story. And the speaker that we bought at Costco only cost us $35. We took a group conscious on that and bought that, and we were able to call, you know, people and have them share and be able to hear them instead of everybody hovering around one little cell phone. And so I think that's pretty much it for me. And thanks, Suzanne, and thanks, everybody, for being here today. 909-964-1521, 909-964-1521, Pacific Time. Thanks.
Thank you, Adele. And our next speaker is John M. from Los Angeles area. Thank you, John. Oh, you have 20 minutes. How would you like your time?
10, 5, and 5. 10, 5,
okay,
and 5.
Okay, thank you, John.
I'm John, compulsive eater, and I'm in the Los Angeles area. My abstinence date is April 10th of 2000. And I've been maintaining a 50 to 60-pound weight loss. My weight dropped down a little bit in the last couple of years because I got into backpacking and stuff. So, I'm lean and mean, and this program really works. And I got into it before they had the phone bridge. Thank God for face-to-face meetings. And but I did start a meeting in my first 30 days or less than that, because my Eskimo, we met at, we went to another fellowship together, and I'm very, very active, 30 years plus with an Alano club. And in case some of you don't know what an Alano club is, they have various 12-step meetings, different types, Al-Anon, AA, CMA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, and might have multiple rooms, and a lot of times they serve coffee, or they'll make coffee for you, et cetera. Some of the other literature that we use, the heavier stuff they might have, except for, our literature specific, and it's a nice tool. And so I started the meeting when I had, actually, I think we started, I might not have had 30 days or been stepped up, but the other guy was, and we started it and got it rolling. And then, you know, I had to even hurry up, and, you know, I became a sponsor within like 30-some days, so a food sponsor. And then I also, I was on maintenance by after 90 days because I did a lot of exercise, and I was, and so people saw the weight peel off. They just saw it in the other 12-step room. So they asked me how. I said, well, I'm starting a meeting such and such up. If you've got problems with food, come join us. And you know, we had a time and a specific time, had a room. So anyhow, I started the meeting, and then what we did at the time, we registered with the World Service. They and of course we were part of the Southern California Intergroup back in the old days, and so you know, and my my friend, you know, we just got the stuff, you know, kind of not even by mail, but from going down, he was involved as an intergroup rep, so it was pretty easy. And at that time, and you know, the meeting grew, but I think it's nice to have coffee at a meeting too, or be able to get stuff. It just kind of makes it more attractive, and maybe starting a meeting too, you could. And sometimes people may have to start them in their homes, and you know, have coffee or things to kind of make people feel comfortable. Obviously, no food, but coffee and tea, and in abstinent type of additives help. And so that's how I started one meeting, and then a few years later, I started another one very early on. Some people think it's early, but I don't. At 7:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, I think I heard it mentioned churches, starting something at a home. Hospitals are good. Sometimes you need proof of nonprofit status, which sometimes can be difficult. But, you know, there's all kinds of different sources, which I think some people mentioned, but maybe some people got later on the line. So I'll just kind of, I may repeat some things that were mentioned. And also, you know, getting service positions, starting out a meeting, you know, and if you have a little time and you don't have much help, you may have to do a lot of these things yourself, and, you know, purchase some literature. I just wanted to go into is to some of the specific mechanics. I just happened to be next door to the World Service office. I used to be on the board, and I think maybe I had a indirect passive-aggressive thing to or situation where they moved into an office in my building, and they're right next door to me, basically. And I, as a service position, get the mail, and when the president isn't there for the manager, Rorith is her name, and Pamela is the other person, the two people that work in the office. So when Pamela can't get the mail, I get the mail and open it and make copies of the money and stuff. It was something that I agreed to do, and so that we could hire this young lady that does a great job with the books and things of this nature. And she worked for Southern California Intergroup for many years. So anyhow, that's but so I do have some access and things. But now they have a method of where you can get online and actually do this. And so the first thing you want to do is you go to www.ceahow.org. Most of you probably know that, but maybe some of you don't. I don't know. But that's how you find the number here. But And so then if you scroll down, it'll give you stuff here, and you'll have, if you hit meeting assistance, which is, it says meetings intergroup, find a meeting assistance, and that's actually between finding a meeting and the phone bridge meeting. So if you do that, then it'll say how to start a new meeting, so you click that, and there again, it was mentioned to the other, you can see there's other things here, update form, area, service position. Those should be kept up if you've already started a meeting. As a reminder, they get frustrated when, you know, people call in, a newcomer does, and they can't find a meeting, you know, or the meeting is expired, or, you know, the contact's different, so it's good to keep those up to date. And so it has here online registration forms. Well, we're here to talk about a face-to-face meeting, so you press that button there. That the second one says face-to-face, so you hit that, and then that'll open up, and so you have your day, time, city, and state where the meeting's going to be. And area, you're not going to really know what that is unless you put your I think they can figure that one out. Location.
10 minutes left, John.
Building, okay, yeah, good. And then you've got the location and mailing address, all that stuff. And also, well, a lot of people are not in the U.S. of A. In the state, you know, you're not in California. So all that stuff has to be filled out, your English. And then it has different formats, too, here. So you can go down and look at that. And then the contact person, which would obviously be you to start a meeting, whoever's filling this form out, and anything else or additional comments, and also you know, they are open. You can call Rorith or Pamela. Rorith is Spanish speaking. That's her predominant language. That's why we hired her, but she does speak English very well. Her accent's a little heavy, but she can work you through the mechanics and help you. And also, of course, Pamela actually is our president. That's her position, and she's a member. So you can actually look up the phone number here online. I'm so used to it that I'm sure you can find it in the website here, how to contact them, you know, and that'll help you there, and they can walk you through this if you don't. One of the things is it's very, very important about a HAL meeting, and I think some of this, you know, of course, it's you know, we do the 12 steps. Anybody's welcome. The only desire, membership is a desire for, you know, anybody coming in. But the they do want the person who's starting this meeting to have a minimum of 30 days of CEA HAL abstinence and to be an actual sponsor, you know, in other words, so that you can do this. Somebody needs to be in that situation. And anybody can read anything except for they can't lead the meeting. They must have 30 days of abstinence and be a sponsor, as well as reading the tools, the 7 tools. And every meeting, the BSCEA HAL meeting, must, you must read the 12 steps of CEA HAL or the traditions and the CEA HAL concept. So the 12 steps, 12 traditions, CEA HAL concept, and the 7 tools. And so anything else does not, like Chapter 5, that's an additional reading. That does not have to be read. to leave more time for sharing, or you can read it. The more readings, probably with a small meeting, you can read Chapter 5, and that's the first page of Chapter 5 in the big book, but you can also get that from them. And then, let's see, and then only CEA HOW or AA conference-approved literature is used at a meeting. Outside literature is not to be read or quoted. In other words, you know, you use the daily reflections for a reading or as Bill sees it or anything that's conference approved. In other words, there are some good meditation books from Hazleton, like 24 Hours a Day, that sort of thing. Those are not to be read. In fact, recently we changed, they changed us some years back. And anything, and then we have a really good sponsorship book that we published a few years ago that's very, very helpful, too, if you're fairly a new sponsor. That anything from that can be read, but nothing outside.
Left on.
Okay. And it says here, like, some of your area or intergroup number, World Service will help that information from you. This is a good service. You start out, and then you want to get as many people as you can to help out as you need to. And getting on a phone bridge, maybe having it as, if you're starting it by yourself or just with one other person, you could. I like that chiming into a phone bridge meeting is a good way to go to have other people and on there and everything. And I'm just trying to think. I can't think of anything else. It's work, and then you just have to get literature. You know, have coffee. That's a great thing, or tea, different teas, and have it. And make it attractive. You can promote as long as you're not using your first and last name and, advertising like that. You can always put a sign up having problems with weight, come to this room or whatever, anything that makes it attractive at such and such a time. And just don't put your first name or first and last name or, promote yourself. And just have a phone number, and you can always do that. They can maybe help you if there's any confusion. If you want to get help with promotion, Pamela can help you with that at the World Service. Anybody can help, and I can help. And again, my name is John, and my phone number is 323-842-4325. That's 323-842-4325, and I'll tell you, the phone bridge has helped me when I've traveled and stuff, but there's nothing better than going to a live meeting or a face-to-face meeting and being accountable. But I still like doing phone. I do a little phone bridge here and there when it's needed and when I'm maybe short on a meeting or two due to circumstances, but I pretty religiously go to face-to-face, but I live in L.A., but it's good because you're accountable, the hugs are good, I love that, and then you get to really know people and you do things, and I've gone sailing with friends, I've done all kinds of stuff because I've developed a really good core of support, and I'm just glad you're all here. Suzanne's an old friend. Hell, we've known each other for a million years, and she knows either one of us will always help the other. I'm just glad you're all here, and I hope you do well with us, and feel free to call me if you need any help or ideas or whatever. Thank you for being here for me, and thank you for helping me stay abstinent this morning. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, John. Thank you for being there always. Thank you so much. All right, our next speaker is Loretta. Loretta, are you here?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. How would you like your 15 minutes?
How about 10 minutes when 10 minutes are up, and then 4 minutes and 1 minute?
Okay, I'll try to remember. I think I got that. Thanks, Loretta. I give you, Loretta, everybody, thank you.
Thanks, Suzanne. Thanks for doing this service, and thanks, everybody, for being here. I've already learned a lot being on here. I don't know that I have much more to add. I can just share my own experience, strength, and hope with starting a face-to-face meeting. I used to do a lot of this back when I was in our mother program, and I sat in rooms quite a number of nights alone or with one other person. And so it was interesting the other night. I have our meetings. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, Cleveland Heights, Ohio. It's Eastern time, and I have our meetings from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. on a Friday night, sorry. And I do it the first and the third Friday of the month because I don't have the physical energy to do it all four nights. There's a couple of folks now that come to our meetings that do qualify to lead a meeting at this point in time, and I feel perfectly open if they would want to take the other second and fourth Fridays of the month and fill in there. I think it would be great. But nobody has expressed that interest yet. So we're new. Our first meeting was December 4th, 2015. And as I said, we only meet twice a month. And I just started, I think, in January, having someone call in to my phone number and be our speaker for 15 to 20 minutes, share their experience, strength, and hope. Somebody usually from the phone bridge, because this is the only face-to-face CHOW meeting in the Cleveland Heights or Cleveland area. I believe there's another one or two in Ohio somewhere. I just don't know where they are. We've had anywhere from just me showing up, which happened last Friday night for the first time, to six people at that meeting. And when we had six people, I just got so excited. But I also used to live down in the Los Angeles area. I used to live in Long Beach. And by the time I left there, I was physically able to get to one meeting a week, and the rest I do with phone bridge. And God bless the phone bridge. God bless the phone bridge, because it came to me in a time when I was very desperate and in very bad shape at home, couldn't get to meetings because of physical challenges and et cetera and so forth. Still had a sponsor, still committed my food, but was not able to make myself three meals a day. I was very sick, et cetera and so forth, la, la, la. At this point in time, God's blessed me with a little over 5.5 years of back-to-back CHOW abstinence. And I moved here to Cleveland Heights. Actually, I moved to University Heights and then to Cleveland Heights 6 years and 1 month ago. I moved here because a parent was very, very ill, and she has since passed away. And when I got here, a couple of friends of mine from program in L.A. said, why don't you start a meeting? And I said, oh, my gosh, I'm not ready to start a meeting yet. I can't do that. I was very involved with my mom and her care and just trying to, you know, stay afloat and do what I needed to do. I couldn't even think about starting a meeting on my own. And there used to be CHOW here. And, in fact, there were people listed. There were meetings listed on the website. And the funny thing was, it wasn't really too funny to these people, but when you called up, they'd say, I told them to take my name off that list. I'm not in that program anymore. So I'd say, I'm very sorry to disturb you, very sorry to bother you. And somebody else would call them up. They'd say the same thing, you know. So finally, I think we got them taken off the list. I hope we did. So our meeting meets at a church. It's the same church that I attend for another 12-step fellowship. I tried my church, the church that I go to, on a weekly basis for church, and they said no. They were all taken up with church activities and couldn't do anything for the outside. I looked at a hospital, and that was a little bit out of the way. And then this just kind of fell into place, and it happened 5.5 years after I moved here. And I just kind of started talking to the secretary of the church, and she was very, very nice. And she said, sure, you could start a meeting like that. What is it again? And I've explained it to her about six times. And she just says she sort of doesn't get it. But that's okay. She's very open to it. And so she said, yes, you can have the room. And I said, well, how much would you charge? She said, well, how many people do you have in your group? And I said, right now it's just me. So she thought about it, and she came downstairs to the meeting I was attending, and she goes, how does $10 a month sound? And I said, sold. So we've been able to make our rent mostly. A couple of us sort of threw in a few extra dollars to make the rent. I have bought literature myself out of my own pocket, and distributed it. We can put it up at the local libraries. There's 3 local libraries, so I intend to get to every one of them, and put it up at where all the other public announcements are. You can do it as long as it's not a nonprofit. So as long as it's a nonprofit. I was going to do it at the local grocery store, and they stopped having a community court board. I called World Service Office and emailed Pamela and asked her, I said, I want to put an ad in our local newspaper. What do I say? And so she gave me some guidelines and said, you know, it would be a very good idea for me to go on that website and look at the public information page on the website. So I intend to do that, but in the meantime, I'm going to use what she gave me and call the local newspaper this week and see where I can get my little ad in. I do have a little packet of information that I use to start the meeting with. What we do is I start the meeting with what they gave us, and it's a concept meeting. And so what we do is we read all five readings, and that does take up some time, which is great. And then I have somebody call in, and I said I was having them call my phone number, but now I found out how to get a free conference call line. So I'm going to start distributing that conference call number to people so other people from other areas can call in at that time and help us have a meeting. I think that would be pretty wonderful. We do have people, as we said, we have other people from the program who came over from another Weighed and Measured 12-Step Food Fellowship. And they're also on the phone bridge, and they love the phone bridge. And we're excited to come to the face-to-face meeting. We have one woman who also has a work obligation on Friday night, so she can't always come. And another woman who has been coming just about every week. And then a couple of other people will drift in and drift out. So that's pretty much what I know. I also start the meeting on time and end it on time. I think what encouraged me the most and inspired me the most to start a face-to-face meeting here was that I'm a delegate, and just about every year at the World Service Business Conference, the board of directors would be very encouraging to all of us delegates to take back what you've learned to your meetings, and if you don't have a meeting where you live, start one. And I kept hearing that year after year after year, and finally last year it just clicked, and I said, okay, after the convention is over, I'm going to start a meeting in my area, and started talking to a few people in the other 12-step fellowship that I'm in who were really excited about it. Most of them backed out. One came one night and said she thinks that she doesn't need that right now. She probably needs another program, another 12-step program, not CHOW, because she doesn't really have a food problem. She has an emotional problem with food. So that may be true. What do I know? And I just said, okay, anytime you want, you can come back. And try to leave it at that. Try to leave it friendly. What else do I do? I'm trying to think. As I said, you know, right now we don't have funds for literature, so I've just bought some real basic pamphlets. Most everybody that comes to the meeting on a regular basis has the big book and has the 12 and 12 and has the Forever Abstinent booklet. That's about it that I can think of, because everybody else has pretty much said everything else. I have found World Service to be very encouraging and very supportive of me, and everybody else to be very encouraging and supportive. I did have it in the general announcement for a couple of months that we were having our meetings and when they were going to be. And now I will just announce it at meetings that I'm on. I will say, you know, this is the week for us to have our face-to-face meeting in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, so if anybody's in the area, please come. And I do know one woman who lives out west whose husband will be coming to the Cleveland Clinic close to the time of our meeting, and I said it would be wonderful if you could get to a meeting, but if you can't, I will go wherever you are, and I'll have coffee with you, and we'll have our own meeting. So I don't know how involved she's going to be with her husband's, you know, health medical care. She may not be able to come to the meeting, but I'm willing to go to her and have a meeting. So I think that's about all that I've got. As I said, I've gotten some good tips from listening to other people. I'm very new at this in the world of CHOW. So as I said, it's only been going on since December 4th. And I've already got speakers lined up until May 1st, so I'm grateful for that. And I am going to get my own conference call line so I can give it out and people can call in at that time if they choose. And I like the idea of getting a little speaker for the phone. I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to do that also. So thank you for letting me share my very limited knowledge and experience in this area. I just felt it was time to start the meeting, and I was excited. And I've also told myself I'm going to give it a year. I'm just not going to get discouraged until it's a year, and then I'm going to reevaluate. And that's it. I'll go ahead and leave my number. It's area code 216-630-0569. Again, 216-630-0569. Eastern Time, I do return my outreach calls, and thank you for allowing me to participate.
Thank you, Loretta. And I am going to be the next speaker. I'm going to kind of recap a little bit and then share my experience. But hopefully everybody's getting something out of this workshop. And if you like it, please feel free to send in a $5 donation or whatever you can to support and carry the message. So would someone time me? Would someone be willing to time me? Last workshop, I timed myself, and that really, I made a lot of mistakes. Would someone be willing to do that service?
Okay, what do you need?
Okay. Adele, yes. Give me a 5-5 and 5, and then if I need extra 5 minutes, I'll take it. 5-5 and 5.
So 15 minutes altogether?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Okay, bye.
Thank you. Okay, now my mind can just focus on what I wanted to share. One says I'm a grateful compulsive eater, and I've been in the rooms for a while here since April 6th of 2003, and when I first came in, there were no phone bridge meetings, and I was in a wonderful position of being able to go to face-to-face meetings. At that time, it was easier. There were a couple of meetings, maybe 4 blocks from where I lived, and my very first meeting is still going. It's not as strong, unfortunately, but it's been there a long time, 30-plus years, and it's still there, and that's where I got my sponsor. And when I walked in, there was a greeter who welcomed me, and that was really important. I felt that I was welcomed and I was needed. It's like, oh, you're a newcomer. We need you. So, and then there was someone who volunteered to take the newcomer's phone number, and that was their service position calling the newcomer. And that person that took my call only had maybe 4 or 5 months more than I, and she is still in this program, abstinent today. And she took my number and called me, and she made it her business to call me on a regular basis, probably 3 or 4 times a week for maybe the first month. And that was really important because I got my foundation with that. As I said, I was lucky there was a face-to-face meeting near where I lived, which is important because I am totally blind. It's a little hard to get to meetings. I remember my first sponsor told me, you got to get to 3 meetings. I'm like, okay. Then she said, well, don't go to Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Spread them out. And I'm thinking, well, that may not always be that easy. But I thought, I had the gift of desperation, so I tried going to a couple other meetings so they were spread out. And then she said to me, make sure one is a big book, one's a 12 and 12, and one's a speaker meeting because you're going to get your recovery from the big book primarily. And the 12 and 12, but you also need to hear someone's experience, strength, and hope. So, okay. So I did that. Unfortunately, the meeting that I used to go to that I got a lot of recovery from, it was a steps meeting, and it was a maintenance meeting. There was a maintenance speaker once a month. It was Thursday, and they spoke for a half an hour on maintenance. And I think it had to be someone who'd been on maintenance for a year, if I remember correctly. The rest of the Thursdays, we studied a step. And the last Thursday of the month was always a tradition, very well-rounded. And there were a lot of people at that meeting that were on maintenance. You didn't have to be on maintenance in order to share at the meeting. And there were some people that had some really strong abstinence that started the meeting. And it was a pretty strong meeting for quite a while. And then a couple of the people moved away, and then their sponsees started going to other meetings that was more convenient to them. And the meeting was hanging on by a thread, and we even considered, we moved to a smaller room, and we were considering moving it. And then a sponsee and I had said we would we would step up and try to keep it going when it was voted that they were just going to close the meeting. And it was sad because it was an easy meeting for me to get to. Well, before that happened, Foambridge came into existence. And so I was able, thank you, God, and thank you, Foambridge, for the people that started it. You know, they have a place in my heart. I was able to still attend meetings caring for my mother because of the Foambridge. And so I am a Foambridge person through and through, but I also know and respect and understand the importance of a face-to-face meeting. So I have both. And it was really very helpful that I had the Foambridge. When my mom was ill, I was able to do a meeting in the hospital and all that good stuff. But when my mom was ill, I still made it to my big home meeting to share. I needed the hugs. As people have said here before, I needed to be hugged. I can't see people looking at me, but I can feel the energy, the love in the rooms. I need to be seen. I remember for a while, one of my sponsees asked me, you know, thank God for sponsees. Well, how many live meetings are you getting to anyway? And I said, well, I do a lot of meetings. And she said, well, how many live meetings are you getting to? And I thought, yikes, it's been about a month and a half since I've made it to a live meeting, although I've been going to, you know, Foambridge. I got my rear end with a chair at a face-to-face meeting as soon as there was one. I did. So I try to do a face-to-face meeting a couple times a month, and my situation is not a normal one. It's a little harder, but I do get rides, so that's important. But here's what I wanted to share. I don't have experience opening a face-to-face meeting in this program, but I have opened a face-to-face meeting. And my first program, I came into a food program in another country, and it was an experience. And you take it is a gift of love. It's an investment. And here's what I'd like to share with you guys. If you don't live in a big urban area, it may be a little different than here in Los Angeles, but try to find, as other people have said, a church or a community center or a hospital, maybe a rehab center. Some places don't charge. They get a tax break if they don't charge, but it's always nice to give them a donation at once a year, a library, so that it's not free. Because this is the experience I had in my other fellowship. Someone loaned us for free or gave us a room for free, but there can be strings attached to that, and there were. And we did not know there were strings attached until later. And it caused a lot of issues and breaking of traditions, and we had to get out of there, and that's when I helped look for and started a new meeting where we paid rent and all that other good stuff that we must do here. So if you are in an area, also if you look for an area or look for a meeting that there are already 12-step meetings there, that's a good place. Also what helped here is it easy to find? There was one meeting here that was so hard to find, they had moved it, even though it was on the same campus, for lack of a better word. No one could find the meeting, and it closed. So is it easily found? Is there parking? Some places that may not be an issue, but in big urban areas, that could be an issue. Is there parking? Is it easily accessible? Is it at a time that, yes, if you're going to start the meeting, that you're going to make a commitment to be there? And be flexible. If you have to move the time, that's okay. That is okay. Pick a format. World Service is not going to dictate, because they don't do that, what type of format you use. There are lots of formats. I remember one of my friends started a face-to-face meeting, and she was going over the list of formats, and some of them I had no idea what they were, and she couldn't figure it out. She couldn't figure it out either. It was a lot of fun. Exploring. Oh, there's this format for this? Let's find out what that is. It was fun trying to read all this stuff. So pick a format. Once you pick a format, you got to stick with it for 6 months before there's a change in format. And a lot of people, you know, I have this experience in a couple of face-to-face meetings I go to. They want to change the format every other month or every other week. And that's the other issue I want to discuss, is that if you... And this has to do with what I'm sharing about right this minute. If you're going to a meeting and there's not a lot of structure and there's not a lot of abstinence. How do you step in and be the elder statesman and not be the bleeding deacon? Well, there was a meeting that someone would just come in and say, hey, we're changing formats, and we'd say, okay. Well, my suggestion is before you start a meeting, try and get in to the inner group and read the bylaws of that inner group. Not the bylaws. What are the words? Yeah, the bylaws. What do they say for the inner group? What are the things that make a meeting? All that helps so that you have a better understanding of the requirements that another speaker went over. You know, they want us to start and finish the meeting on time. That people have 30 days of abstinence to share, or 7 if the pitching's been discussed with their sponsor. They don't want us to end the meeting early, because if someone who's new comes in late and the meeting's over, it kind of sends, what type of a message does it send? So all that, you kind of be clear before you start it. And yes, if someone shared, sometimes you have to be everything at the beginning if you're the only one that has the abstinence, but that's okay. The meeting that I really wanted to continue, and it didn't, it got voted to close it, there was only 3 or 4 of us left, we wanted to publicize it, and this one person was adamant that we couldn't do that. And I pointed out that our co-founder, Ray Z, that's what she did. She put it in the newspaper. So we can do that, and as it was pointed out, there is a public information page. Thank you. There is a public information page. There is also a workshop on public information. There are commercials for public service announcements that have already been done professionally. Some radio stations will allow you to say, hey, I have a public service announcement. Will you play it? Some of them want to do it with their own voice. There is a text. There is a small fee for that on the website. I don't know how much it is. But if you call the World Service Office, they'll give you that information. But I would encourage you to listen to the workshop. It is on the recording line about public information. It's also on the website, and the information is there. And call any of the people here, because they'll have experience in opening a face-to-face meeting, and they can be helpful. In this program, I have learned I can ask for help. And maybe if I ask one person, that person is unable, it's not their experience, or they don't have the time commitment. But I have found that I can't do this program by myself, and there have been plenty of people that I call and say, can you help me do such and such? If you want to start a face-to-face meeting, and you're not on the Internet, and you might be, oh, how can I start a meeting? Well, I'm not really on the Internet, per se, and here's what I would do. I would call the World Service Office, get some orientation, and then call someone else to help you. I am also a delegate, and I've had to have someone help me fill out the certification form. I've had to have someone help me fill out what committees I want to be on. And I can't do it by myself, but I ask, and there are people who are willing to help. So if you want to start a face-to-face meeting, that doesn't have to be a reason not to if you don't have Internet. You can get someone to help you to register the meeting and help with that information. And also, once you've been assigned an inner group, I would reach out to that inner group. Maybe your inner group is far, but it doesn't matter. Someone will call you back and help you. So, to recap, make sure it's a time that you can be committed to, at least for a while. Make sure it's easily found. It helps if you can find the meeting. And as someone said, have coffee or diet sugar-free soda pop. That also helps. That used to be one of my first commitments. I brought all the diet soda pop, and on a hot day, people would think, I don't want to go to a meeting. Oh, wait a second. Suzanne is bringing the soda pop, the sugar-free soda pop that's been in her freezer, and it's nice and cold. Okay, I'm going. Whatever it takes, right? So coffee, free soda. We sold them for a minimal amount, and the money went back into the treasury. So there was coffee. At the one meeting, there was no coffee, but there was soda pop. And at my big, big meeting, there was someone who did coffee, and there was a separate donation thing for the coffee. Don't be afraid. if I can do this service and I don't do it perfectly and I make lots of mistakes and no one is taking me to task over it, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Don't be afraid to ask. We can do that here. None of us are an island. Speaking of island and isolating, I need the hugs that I started to share about my sponsee who asked me when was the last time I went to a face-to-face meeting. This was quite a while ago, okay? I need to be seen because I can be an isolator in the past. And it doesn't take much, especially when I was caring for my mom. It was a good excuse. It was a good excuse. It really was. But I do need to be seen. I do. Because I can be abstinent, and I can be working my program. But if I start to isolate, and I don't have the hugs, and if I'm not being seen, I can put on emotional weight. And who's going to see me? And who's going to say, hey, what's going on? Because no one sees me. For those of you who live out in the middle of nowhere, you're thinking, how can I make this work? Well, there are people at open meetings, and they're the only one, or there's just two of them. It doesn't matter. And I know that might be, not everybody has it in them with open a meeting. I get that. But try it. You may like it, and you might be surprised. But it is good to be seen. It is good to be an example. It was pointed out to me the other day, a good time to open a meeting is when you're losing weight because people are seeing the transformation in you. And that's actually a very good point. But I need to go to a meeting to be seen, to be hugged. I need to go to a meeting to be part of. That I know I have a fellowship here on the phone.
15 minutes.
Thank you. Then I'll wrap up because I gave myself a little leeway here. Thank you, Adele. The other day I was asked to speak at a face-to-face meeting, and I went, and because of my situation, I have to have a lot of structure. I'm not very spontaneous. I could not book a ride going home. I got there on time. I got there a few minutes early, actually, but I could not book my ride going home, and I thank you, God, that I'm at a point in my program that I didn't worry about it. I thought, I will get a ride home. I'm turning it over to God, And it was a good thing because getting a ride home is never an issue, but I got to go out for fellowship. I got to enjoy an abstinent meal with other people that I normally don't get to share a meal with. And some of these people I see at my face-to-face meeting, at my regular one, and some of them don't, but I got to share a meal and got to be close with people. And it is like an adrenaline shot. It is a boost. It gives you something. I used to say it, I probably should still say it. For me, one face-to-face meeting is equivalent to two phone bridge because I don't have the physical contact. And that's just me. And I also had this argument. People used to say, phone bridge, it doesn't really count. It doesn't count. It's not a meeting. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. It's a meeting. And for the most part, most of my outreach is done from people from Homebridge. They take it very seriously. I need both. But if you're thinking about the face-to-face meeting aspect, you don't have to do it alone. There's always someone to share their experience. And call the World Service Office. There's someone there Monday through Friday, and I'm going to give the phone number out. I know it by heart, and I call there often enough myself. It is 323-660-4333. Once again, the phone number is 323-660-4333, and they are on the West Coast Pacific Time. And please see the website, call any one of us, or anyone else who started a face-to-face meeting, or other people on the phone bridge. My name is Suzanne, I'm in Los Angeles, and my phone number is 310-208-4311, 310-208-4311. All right, our last speaker, and we will be having questions and answers, so if anybody has any questions, please stay tuned, and at the end of our next speaker, we'll have questions and answers. Our next speaker is Woody. Woody, how would you like your time? You have 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay, let me have 5:05, and then a 1 minute morning at the end.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Woody.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Woody, and I have been in program and absent since 12/16/02. I've been an active member of my face-to-face meetings and doing service at all levels in the face-to-face world, and I've been a member of PhoneBridge for many years. I'm involved in service here. Many of you have never heard me speak on the PhoneBridge meetings because I have a vocal cord problem. And when I do speak up in the meetings in the morning, it's only when I know that I won't need my voice for the rest of the day. It takes more energy to project your voice over the phone. So I'm pretty much, after a short while, going to sound like I've been screaming and yelling wildly at a football meeting, a football game, because my voice doesn't hold out for long. For this reason, at the end, I'm not going to leave my phone number because I cannot be talking on the phone or can't be talking on the phone. So if you think about me, pray for me. Okay, so we've been talking about the whys and the hows of setting up face-to-face meetings, and I would like to share a little bit more about each of those topics. So why do it? I mean, what's in it for me? It's just extra hassle, right? Well, for one thing, you're giving back to a program that saved your life. And you're going to hear that theme a lot in what I have to say, giving back the program that saved your life. You are opening up a new modality of recovery, the face-to-face meeting. Some people are more energized in their recovery by sharing it with other people physically in the room rather than over the phone. I've had several sponsees who are not familiar with using, not comfortable with using the phone. And so so they get their recovery from the face-to-face meetings. People like that would be denied their opportunity of recovery if they had to subsist on PhoneBridge meetings only. So that's one reason to set it up. We have to think of our fellowship as a whole. Another thing in giving back to the program that saved your life, see how it won't continue to run for the long run if it's phone recovery only. So do you want to do your part in helping CHOW grow? And another way of thinking about giving back to a program that saved your life, it does require some effort and some service. And, you know, like anything else, long-term service, long-term success is based on that saying, get out of it what you put into it. And how often have I heard at PhoneBridge meetings, excuse me, thank goodness for the PhoneBridge because I don't have meetings in my town. And I always think, well, honey, do you think WSO flies in with the helicopter and drops a meeting onto the ground in your town? It'll provide incredible amounts of support of getting the meeting set up, but it does require boots on the ground. And now talking more about the how to do it, the mechanics, and lots of the details of the mechanics have already been discussed. And I'd like to offer some other thoughts. I have started a number of meetings, both face-to-face in our sister program and ours. And to start off, what I do is look for a hospital or a church. They're easiest to meet in because generally they don't require, hospitals don't require proof of nonprofit status or insurance. Some churches that we've met at do require, but they don't require nonprofit status if we give them a tax ID number, which is easy enough to file for and get. So once you have the physical location, then settle on a day and a time and make at least a six-month commitment to do it. And that may mean you're sitting in that room with basic copies of the AA literature for 6 months and nobody else walks in. Well, for me, that worked out really well because I got to read the literature in a very quiet setting, and I know that my recovery was enhanced by doing the service to begin with. Then, after you have settled on a day and a time and you make the commitment, call World Service to find out how to register you. They will walk you through it step by step if you prefer that method to using the Internet, which will lead you through the steps also. And now, here's the question. Once you've started your meeting, how do you get it growing and how do you keep it strong? Well, to get it growing, this is what my groups have done, and my meetings have done in the past. They've advertised in church bulletins. They have made up business cards. You know, on TV, there's those offers of business cards, $500 for $9.99 or something. And they had a business card drawn up. They found a design on the computer they liked, and it just says, "Do you have a problem with overeating? We can help." And then three contact names and numbers at the bottom of the card. And then when people call into those numbers, the members tell them about our meeting and how to get there. These business cards we've also put up in grocery store bulletin boards, on church bulletin boards, on health club and gym bulletin boards. And we found they were especially productive putting them up in hospital bulletin boards. So you've got your meeting going and you're attracting people. Now, how do you keep your meeting strong? Well, follow the traditions. The most effective way to keep a meeting strong is to follow the traditions. The most effective way to destroy a meeting is not to follow the traditions. So that means you follow all the steps and the tools and the concept, because all of them are passed by the World Service Business Conference, which means that the group conscience of CHEL is a whole. And that's one of our traditions, the group conscience of CHEL as a whole. And among the traditions, be very careful, be very wary of outside topics. Our tradition 5 says, our primary purpose is to spread the message of CHEL recovery. And that means we are a 12-step group. We're not group therapy. So the CHEL recovery is our primary purpose. And by the way, tradition 6 and 10 tell us indirectly that that's our only purpose, the CHEL recovery. My rule of thumb is, if the topic isn't in the big book of the 12 and 12, I don't mention it in a meeting. I just don't. And if you find that you've started a meeting and there are few or no abstinent people in there, you can always read our literature from beginning of the meeting to the end, even without anybody sharing. You can do way worse than focusing a meeting totally on reading from the literature. And I've been to meetings on the ground that became very weak, and some of them decided to waive the abstinence requirement because so few people were able to share. Well, in my experience, and I've seen it happen often, the meeting may drag on, but it won't flourish, and frequently it closes, because one of our basic founding principles is the abstinence requirement. And again, that was voted on by the group conscience of CHEL as a whole. If you do have low numbers of abstinent people at a meeting, do not waive the abstinence requirements. You can go back to reading the literature. You can use the hybrid method of bringing in people on the phone lines so that the people in your meetings can hear an abstinent share. You don't do anybody a favor by conducting a meeting where other people cannot hear abstinent shares. In fact, I think one of the bottom line guarantees that CHEL makes is that if you come to a meeting, you will hear abstinent shares. That's a promise. Okay. You can keep a meeting strong by continuing to support it. Even if you left one face-to-face meeting you were attending and you substituted a phone bridge meeting, you've weakened the face-to-face meeting in ways you may not have even thought about. You're depriving that face-to-face meeting of your sharing, your sponsorship, your service, your financial support. All of those are gone. Your input about the traditions is gone, and that may well mean that your meeting has become weaker because you did not use your voice in support of the traditions. Another way to keep your meeting strong is, don't just be an observer on the stand lines, standing on the outside looking in. Be a participant, which means do service. As soon as your sponsees become abstinent, encourage them to step up to do service. Show them, even if you may have rotated out of the leader position, show them the example of your picking up other service positions and keep stressing that importance of service is freedom from bondage of self, but it's also your abstinence is on the line.
5 minutes left, Woody.
Thank you, and that's one of the most important messages you can cross. Again and again, you can work a hybrid program. Many a person does phone bridge and face-to-face. They do service, phone bridge, face-to-face, and they're thriving, phone bridge, face-to-face. So now I want to talk a little bit about why participation in face-to-face meetings has affected me so much. The more effort I put into a meeting, the more enhanced my recovery. For me, it's more than just suit up or show up on the phone bridge, because what that means is, you know, maybe not even changing my jammies and I dial in. It takes extra effort to put on clothes and drive to a meeting and find my way into the building and find my way to the room. And so what? The extra effort is, what that does is affirm my commitment to my recovery. And it's always better for me not to take the easier way. Another reason is that face-to-face meetings, I can pay complete attention and therefore get more out of the sharing. I follow some guidelines for phone bridge meetings, and I have my sponsees do it too. Be there at the start to hear all the readings. Sit quietly at a location where I am likely to have the fewest distractions, and listen intently with an open heart. And this means, excuse me, no treadmill, no yoga, no other form of exercise, no eating during the meeting, no cleaning the kitchen. It means sitting and listening and taking it all in. That's the way to get the maximum benefit for me and to give the maximum service and respect to others. In the face-to-face meetings, I'm not tempted by other distractions, and I can absorb more recovery. Another reason is in face-to-face meetings, there's more time for sharing, because people aren't thanked after they read or share, and no phone numbers are given, and there are a number of other procedures that are required by PhoneBridge mode of operation. Today, I attend 6 PhoneBridge meetings a week in order to get the equivalent recovery time as 3 face-to-face meetings. And most importantly, and this is where we get down to the real stuff, why face-to-face meetings are so powerful for me. I am a human being. I bond more easily with people when I am in their physical presence. If I feel I need to share with vulnerability, it is way too easy for me to do that on the phone bridge. It's much more harder and more real when I'm looking at faces in the room. I've pretty much decided that I'm more comfortable sounding a fool than looking one. It's easier for me to sound like a fool in a universe of anonymous faces than to look like a fool with faces staring at me in a room. And that means I take a risk. And the greater risk I'm willing to put into my open and honest sharing, the greater my recovery. And back to the idea, I am human. I seek and find consolation in an affirming glance. I respond to the touch of a hug, and I am delighted in giving a hug. I rejoice in seeing other people's smiles. When I am able to hug and touch the others in the room, I feel my spirit is physically reaching out and physically touching the spirit of another. And in that process, I become more healed, and hopefully I pass that on to the others. And in that process, I'm giving back to a program that has saved my life. Thank you.
Thank you, Woody. Before we open up for sharing and asking questions and answers, I just wanted to address a couple of things that were brought up in closing. If you do, because I've heard this at the convention, I only do phone bridge because the meetings in my area are very few and they're not desirable. We'll just put it that way. I have a few of those meetings in my area also, and I've also learned from what not to do and what to do. It takes Sometimes it can only take one person to come into a meeting and change the tone of the meeting. There was a meeting I used to attend. There were like three people. I was asked to speak. I went. And it was not a meeting I was able to get to on a regular basis, but I did go a few times. Somebody new got a sponsor at another meeting, and her sponsor had been absent in 18 years. And she said, can you start coming to this meeting because it's poorly attended and it needs help? And this person was in a position of saying yes. Well, pretty soon, there were 30 people at that meeting. In fact, they got so noisy, they lost the meeting room because of it. So, it takes one person. Sometimes we may not be in an emotional sobriety to be that person. So if you're not that person, you can still attend and still be an example of quiet dignity. Sometimes when my experience has been when a suggestion is made about please don't change the format every other week because we're supposed to do it every six, we're supposed to give it a chance. And everybody looks at you or says, you know, who do you think you are? That's happened. Then you learn to say, okay. And then maybe you speak to the secretary of that meeting quietly, saying, you know, here's my experience has been such and such, or let's look at the bylaws, or let's look at the website. Let's get some other ideas going. Sometimes speaking up at a meeting it may not be the best way. Sometimes it is, and if you're met with resistance, then you speak quietly to the secretary, or you speak to other members quietly about it. But just by being that presence and not getting into the emotions of it, but being that quiet dignity of abstinence, sometimes that's all it takes. But be patient. I've learned patience in this program, and sometimes change comes slowly. So if you have a meeting that you haven't been to because of that, start going again and give it time. Give it time. Be patient. Just be that quiet dignity. Sometimes it's all it takes. And call for a business meeting. Call for rotation of service. Whatever it takes. But if you cannot be that quiet, if you can't do it in a loving way, then just have that quiet dignity and be that pillar of an example. The other thing is, another meeting one of my other sponsees was attending said, I don't know why I go to that meeting, you know, on and on and on. And she later said, and I was doing my paperwork and doing whatever on my phone. And I paused, so I took my own suggestion here. I didn't say, what? I just paused, and I said, well, instead of you contributing to the problem, why don't you not do that? Why don't you be the example? So when you go into a meeting, I told my sponsee, leave your phone outside. Don't take paperwork to work on. Be respectful and listen to the speaker or listen to the people that are reading and sharing. And this is at a face-to-face meeting, mind you. I said, please don't contribute to the problem. Be an example. So if that helps anybody, I hope so. Same thing for phone bridge. I try to make my six meetings on the phone bridge. I'm sitting or standing, listening, and I'm not doing anything else. The other meetings, the extra meetings, sometimes I will be cooking or something. But the meetings that I need, because it says in order to have a meeting, it has to be a whole meeting, right? So I'm here from beginning to end, and I'm participating. I heard someone say a long time ago, this is just some opinion, right? This is not written anywhere. If you don't speak up or do some sort of service, even to say thank you to the leader, then were you really there? And I thought, I had to think about that. So I hope all of this helps you. And please, if you have one of those meetings, please think about going back and just being that quiet dignity and being patient and persistent. I've learned persistence as well in this program. So now we're going to open up for any questions and answers. Does anybody have... Oh, I guess before we stop the recording, Cheryl, I'd like to thank everybody who shared today. I'd like to thank Cheryl, Adele, John, Loretta, and Woody. And thank you, everyone, for being here. And if you like the workshop, if you got something out of it, please send in a donation, and listen to this again and tell people that the workshop was here. All right. So now I would like to open it up for questions and answers. Does anybody have any questions?
I'll stop the recording now.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl.